Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor. I'm Jim Simmons and we're happy that you've joined us tonight. We believe that tonight's program will be a blessing to you. We have a talented and gifted guest joining us tonight. But first, let's begin our program the right way by going to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you to superintend our time together this evening. We also ask that you would bless our special guest this evening, not only as he shares with us, but as he continues to use his talents and gifts to touch lives through you. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Just wonderful, Jim. I thank you for that kind introduction, especially the prayer. Approaching our program the right way by inviting God in to that moment. Also want to thank those who are kind enough to join us and also realize many are able to join us through the archive due to their work schedules, and we look forward to that as well. We normally, in the first half, would be open to questions, and I just want to let you all know we're very blessed to have a guest with us, and so later in the program we'll be taking questions. But, Jim, you know our special guest tonight has touched so many lives and families through his work. In fact, in one sense, he's no stranger to many of our listeners, from TV to movies. He's either starred in or produced programming that many have enjoyed. In fact, in one form or another, we have welcomed him into our homes at different times.
I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. In fact, as he did, he brought hours of joy and spiritual truth to many of our lives.
Now, our special guest tonight, David A.R. White, has been a working actor and producer in Los Angeles for over 10 years.
At the age of 19, and only 6 months after moving to Los Angeles, David landed a reoccurring role on the hit TV CBS sitcom Evening Shade for 3 years. David then went on to guest appearances on such shows as Coach, Saved by the Bell, Sisters, Melrose Place, Merrill Law, and many others.
Raised in the church, David was very familiar with Christian films, but had a passion to make films that uplift and inspire the human spirit. In 1999, with that passion, David produced and starred in the feature-length film, The Moment After. The following year, he produced and starred in Mercy Streets.
Then in early 2006, David became a founding partner in the film distribution production entity, Pure Flix Entertainment. His other film credits include 6, The Mark, Unleashed, The Visitation, Hidden Secrets, Holy Man Undercover, Run On, Marriage Retreat, Jerusalem Countdown, and the film Me Again. David's producer credits include The Wager, In the Blink of an Eye, Sarah's Choice, starring Rebecca St. James, and What If?
And David's passion has always been to further the Christian faith-based genre with excellence in every way. His love for the Lord has governed the projects that he is a part of. David and his wife, Andrea Logan, who is an actress and producer as well, live in Los Angeles with their 2 children. So on behalf of Ask the Pastor, I'm pleased to welcome David A.R. White. David, how are you this evening?
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a real blessing. I wonder if you'd take a moment and share with us how you came to know Jesus Christ as Savior.
Yeah, you know, I was blessed to have a my dad was a pastor growing up, and so I came to the Lord at a really early age. I was 4 years old, and I was presented the opportunity at an early age, and of course, you know, as you grow and grow in your faith, as well as I grew up, God obviously worked on me in my heart a lot, and my dad put me through the Navigator 27 series when I was in high school to disciple me. And yeah, so anyway, since I was young.
David, I heard you say in an interview on one occasion that you felt that God had put a dream and a desire to be in the entertainment industry in your life. I think that anyone who is seeking God in their vocation needs that. Would you share some of your feelings about the idea of the passion or call of God in your life?
Yeah, I struggled a lot with when I grew up in a small town in Kansas and went to Moody Bible Institute, where my entire family in Chicago, Illinois, where my entire family had gone, graduated, and met their significant others there to study the Bible. And, of course, my entire family was in ministry, either in missions or in pastoral. And so I went there for a year because my dad had always set out that you go there for a year at least because he wanted all of his kids to study the Bible, which I think was great. And I did that, and after that year, I came to the conclusion that I felt like I needed to, there was this thing inside of me to move to Los Angeles to be in the entertainment industry. And of course, growing up in Kansas on the farm, that never was at all cultivated at all. You know, there was no acting, there really was no theater troupe in my high school at all. I never had an acting class, never met a professional actor or someone in the film industry. And I'd only seen, because I grew up in the Mennonite community, I'd only seen one movie in a theater the first 18 years of my life.
Wow.
So everything about the film industry, I was on the way other side of it. And there was really no reason or cultivation of that, you know, to have that desire.
Mm.
But I felt like, after praying about it and seeking the Lord, you know, at that year after Moody, I felt like I was supposed to call my dad, and I did. And I said, "Dad, I want to leave Bible school, and I want to go to Hollywood to be an actor."
And that just really warmed him up, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you can imagine there was a long silence on the phone because my parents, you know, never really. My dad had always said, well, the only person I ever told that I had a desire to be in the film industry and to be an actor were my parents. Other than that, I never told anybody in high school just because of, you know, it was like, hey, I want to be an astronaut or, you know, something so far away. And my father had always said, well, you can't do that because you don't know how to sing and you don't know how to dance. And I was like, yeah, well, because I'm a Mennonite. We don't dance. But it comes back to this whole idea that does God put these desires in your heart? And I believe that he does. And I believe that he did that for me. And I, even though I didn't understand it at the time, and I actually felt almost bad about pursuing this because I wanted to leave Bible school, I wanted to leave studying the Bible, and I wanted to go to Hollywood to be an actor, like the most selfish profession on the planet, you know, one of the most self-obsessed professions. That's what I felt like I wanted to do. And so, of course, for many years, I never, ever would say, you know, I felt God calling me or I believe that I'm supposed to do this. You know, I didn't want to over-spiritualize it because, I, to be honest, I had no idea whether or not it was my idea or God's idea. I had this burning desire in my heart, and I prayed about it, and it never went away, and so I acted upon that desire.
Wow.
And that's where, you know, after being here many years and seeing how the Lord kind of took that and has led me along the way to exactly where he wants me to be, because I believe that you bend your knee before him, you say, God, take my life, use it to, you know, it's yours. This talent is yours, this whatever you gave me is yours, and I submit to that, then it allows God to use it. And that's where I can look back and I can go, you know what, God put those dreams and desires in my heart. And I believe that he does that with everybody now. And even if those dreams and desires, as long as they don't obviously go against Scripture, then listen to those, because it's probably God telling you something through those desires.
And David, that's a great answer, because you know what I love about that is that to realize that you have the opportunity to contact people that a pastor in the pulpit probably won't reach. And so there are doors open to you that God can use and bless and take your life in a very special direction. We're very thankful for that. And, you know, when I think of the faith-based films, we're the ones who are blessed by them, get to enjoy them, even use them as witnessing and ministry tools. And I was just curious, do you get feedback, you know, emails, letters, things of that nature, of how they've touched lives?
Yeah, you know, that's been a cool thing. My father always wanted me to be an evangelist. That's what he always told me growing up. And I always shied way away from that because growing up in the ministry, the last thing in the world I wanted to do was be in the ministry. No offense to you, Pastor, but I understand being a pastor's kid how much you go through, and I don't think most people can realize that unless they've gone through, you know, you really have to have a call in your life to be, you know, to be a pastor and to, certainly to be an evangelist and all of that. So, but I think it's ironic that, you know, and I'm glad that my dad was able to see the films that I've been able to be in and be a part of before he passed. And he saw that the evangelism came out of the films. And I'm always touched and moved and just so grateful to the Lord that he has allowed me to do the desires of my heart, but ultimately for his glory, and then the amazing fruit is to be able to see people whose lives have been transformed and through the film. So I'm just thankful to be part of that.
I bet your dad really enjoyed that too, seeing you at work, and I bet he was really proud. The Revelation Road series is a unique, powerful, and has a great message. I understand that you and Jeff Patterson, the executive producer of the film, discussed the concept while taking your children out trick-or-treating. Is that right?
Oh, wow. Controversy. We're bringing up controversy here. It's just funny because we were actually just discussing the storyline of the other day because we had done another movie where the director didn't believe in Halloween or taking the kids on a trick-or-treat thing. And we have many friends that as well share that same belief. I, of course, shared that belief growing up. And because I was so conservative growing up, I think maybe I take a little more maybe I'm a little more liberal when it comes to those type of things. But yes, that is where the concept and when I in no way am endorsing Halloween, but I do, you know, my kids like to get dressed up, and they do go around to their neighbor and they like to trick or treat. So and out of that, you know, we like to think of Christian movie concepts that can win souls to the Lord.
That's marvelous. Actually, I have no problem with that question for the simple reason I may not care for Halloween that much, but any event that gives you a reason to be able to buy that much chocolate and bring it to your home can't be
right.
All bad. I mean,
right.
There you go.
David, I know that you played the role of Josh in the movie, and how would you describe the message of the movie?
Well, you know, it's a very... End time movies, I've been in certainly my share of them. And I like the end time movies because I like the action element, I like the science fiction element. But the ultimate element that I like is that it constantly asks the question, if you were to die tonight, if the rapture occurred today, would you be ready and where would you go? And so, for me, it's like a three-pack, you know, just of awesome, of things that I enjoy. And so, the theme of the movie, you know, is, and the things that we always try to come up with is how can we tell this story that's been told a million times in a million different movies in a different and unique way that is poignant you know, that will impact lives. And I think we did it in Revelation Road movies. It's actually the outflow of comments back about these two movies has been extraordinary. I think almost as much as the first one I ever did. They're probably probably the same or if not more. I mean, it's been amazing. And I think what it did was it created this everyday man, you know, in a really extreme situation. Obviously, this biker gang is after him,
mm-hmm.
and all he wants to do is go home. And he's running from something, his past, that I think a lot of us can relate to. We're all running from something at some point, and through it, until he basically bends his knee and gives it to God, he doesn't have rest and he doesn't have peace. And that's the ultimate theme of Revelation Road, is one man's journey to faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in some of those scenes in Revelation Road 2, I saw you looked a little like Chuck Norris to me. And when we were watching it, I said, doesn't he look a little like Chuck Norris? And my wife said, yeah, he does. So I don't know if
Who?
That's a compliment or
Josh
not.
Josh or the Brian Bosworth?
You.
Oh, me? Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, he didn't look anything like Chuck to me. But in Revelation Road 2, there are a lot of great lines. One I especially like is that you've just come up on the sheriff. People are upset since people are missing. Someone suggests that God was responsible, and you say, what do they call it? The rapture? To which the deputy responds, no way. I'm a Christian, and I'm still here. I was with the pastor an hour ago. That doesn't make any sense. However, the truth is that it makes a lot of sense. What was the mood of the cast as these kinds of scenes were shot?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, because a lot of some film companies, they only use Christians on their crews and their casts. We, however, feel our mission is in front and behind the camera. It's the making of these films. That's very important to us. And so we do not try at all to get Christian crew members. We do try to get, some Christian crew members, and certainly the hierarchs, the producers, directors, the lead cast, people like that. We try to start, you know, with Christians at the top to go down to, and then I think we can set the tone then of what the set is supposed to be like, and then other people can kind of see Christ's love through that. And I mean, the most remarkable thing is, yeah, that is a cool, definitely that's a neat scene, you know, and I think it's, I think that struck a lot of people in an interesting way, because
it
you kind of just take it head on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
know, I thought it was a great
scene. Even you're a believer and you go to church, you're not. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to heaven. It's not about that. And
right.
And
right.
We had a lot of conversations about that with people that we're very clear here that it's not about what you do or say. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's
right.
The only way.
Were there any particular reactions to this? Did you see any that perhaps were not saved? Did you see any changes or questions? Or did anyone show an interest in what is this Christianity thing?
Yeah, I the interest, you know, I think that the, sorry about the dinging. I think the best, no, not the best example, but certainly one of the biggest examples, or the brightest one, was Brian Bosworth really was not a believer when he started the Revelation Roads.
Mm-hmm.
And he started touring after the first one. He called us up and he said, hey, I got some chiefs that I know in Oklahoma, and you know, that own casinos, and I'd like to take the movie out to some theaters and casinos and churches and, you know, and whoever else wants to do it. And we're like, okay, sure. I don't know of any of a lot of Christian movies in casinos, but why not? So he did. He started like a 20-city tour with the movie. And I remember, it's funny, because 3 days into it, he kind of was getting impacted by the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And start asking the question to the audience, you know, if you guys, if this actually came true, do you know where you would go?
Wow.
And the irony is that he actually had the the honesty to say he didn't in front of a crowd, and he worked through his unbelief and disbelief and through an audience, and he ended up after that, you know, a pastor came up to him and said, you know, Brian, if anybody really could come to the Lord right now, it seems that you're ready, and you know, and it was all about, for him, it was about letting his anger go and believing, because God had let him so down on his football career and, you know, and in different ways of his life throughout the years. And so it's amazing if you guys, if you're on Facebook and you look at Brian Bosworth's page up to March 3rd, if you scroll backwards, it's amazing to see the transformation that the Lord did in his heart since March 3rd. And he is truly just a born speaker, a born evangelist. And it's been just amazing to see God's growth in his life since last March.
That's great to hear. That's really great to hear. Wow.
Absolutely. You know, another great star you had in the movie was Maverick Von Ho, played Meat, by the way. I wanted to ask you, when you're making names for the characters, do you get one of those baby naming books and just draw from past characters? They're so innovative, actually.
That's exactly what we do. We take a baby book and we go, Grizz. That's a good
there you go.
Character. Meat. That's another good, nice baby name.
Well, that's good. I thought maybe just got hungry halfway through the book and said, all right, let's go for meat. I don't know. But, you know, Maverick is the real deal. Wasn't he the ultimate fighting champion? He actually had 26 different titles.
Yeah, I don't know how many titles he had, but he is he's a tough dude, and he's a sweetheart and loves the Lord, and he just it certainly – you know, the first time that all these guys pulled up Maverick and MMA, you know, and then you got Sting, Wrestler, and Bosworth, and then their entire crew, they all came in on motorcycles, and I was like, wow, I actually, you know, I felt a bit intimidated as their Harleys or, you know, and I mean, just, you know, they were a mean, rough crew, and it's neat to see, though, you know, how the Lord, you know, they have their own different testimonies, and that's always cool to see.
Absolutely. One other item I'd like you to share, if you would, about him is that in the movie, of course, he's got this cap on that's very intimidating and it's simply Soul Collector. But I noticed there's actually another story behind where that title comes from, isn't there? From his family?
I don't know that whole the whole story there, except for the fact of just the, you know, I know that I think he was the Soul Collector. I think that was his title, or that's his, like, name.
I've simply read somewhere that his father, when there's in the Philippines, actually saw that as a ministry to go out and collect the souls that other people couldn't reach, you know, with that being able to confront people in a very special way. So I thought that was interesting that he carried that title into the movie in the cap. Just a very nice little way of keeping that memory special for his father, I thought.
Yeah, that is awesome. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, can you share with us a little bit about your wife and actress, Andrea Logan White, who played Kat, the daughter of Hogg, and her role in the movie?
Yeah. What would you like to know?
What is it like working with your wife and you're helping, I guess, y'all maybe discuss that even after the camera's not rolling. What's that like?
You know what, it is, it's an interesting thing because my wife knows me more than, you know, than anybody, and I know her more than anybody, and so acting is really about truth, and it's an interesting thing to be in scenes with her, because we know, you know, when, as an actor, you try not to act, because you don't want anybody to be able to see that you're acting. I mean, that's really the objective, and so... It's just an interesting, you know, we're each other's best fans, and then also, you know, of course, we know when the person's not dialed in, and we can kind of help with that. And so, it's always a little complicated when we do a movie together because of we have three children now. And so that complicates things a little bit, but it's also a wonderful thing when we get to do a movie together because it's just, you know, it's our whole family kind of gets involved in the process.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Actually, I was going to say, to her credit as an actress, I'd seen the previous movies she had been in and was always impressed how she comes across as this very warm, vibrant Christian wife, you know, that I can see you'd be so proud of. And then we come to these two movies, and she scared me, David. I'm sorry, but she scared me. I mean, I caught myself praying for you that night that you would be safe. I didn't know.
Oh, the many faces of our walk.
There you go. There you go. Tell me something, if you'd be so kind. Would you share with people how they might be able to use your films in order to reach their community, perhaps through the churches? I know, for example, through PureFlix, you've actually got a different contract arrangements for people to use them in churches and applications. If you could explain a little bit of that for our listeners.
Yeah, we have, as part of PureFlix, we have a PureFlix movie ministry. And kind of what this is it's to bring films to churches. You know, as we said, I think you said earlier in the broadcast that not everybody will go to a Sunday morning service, but they oftentimes will come to a movie night.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll allow the movies to take them where nobody could take them, even their best friends. You know, when the lights go out and they're watching a movie, our vulnerabilities come out. And so churches use these movies to reach into their communities. We provide the whole pack for them, everything they need from handbills, tickets to radio spots to, you know, everything to promote the movies, posters, make it a nice, easy, turnkey event type of thing. And then it's really, that's where we get a lot of letters from, you know, from pastors and saying, hey, you know, we had more people on this movie night than I've had in the last, whatever,
wow,
6 months to any service, you know, and people love it. And I think that's just because everybody loves movies. They love to identify with these. And then to be able to have a movie that has a very strong evangelistic message, or, you know, we have movies of all types. PureFlix, when we created PureFlix, a big thing for us was to create content on an ongoing basis in every genre within the Christian film. So, you know, we have comedies, dramas, farces, mysteries, thrillers. You know, you have it all, but hopefully all leading to the cross and leading with a message that uplifts and inspires their spirit instead of tearing it down.
Interesting. Could you take a moment and share some of your current projects you're working on so we can not only pray more effectively for you and your family, but also support them when they come to the theaters?
Well, thank you. Yeah. You know, the biggest project that we have coming right now is called God's Not Dead. And it's based off that Newsboys song, God's Not Dead, the number one song. And there's a book written by Rice Brooks, and it's been an interesting thing. It's really an apologetic movie that's hitting theaters in March 7th. We open on over 500 theaters, and it's been extraordinary. The trailer is up on YouTube right now, and within 2 weeks, without any promotion, we had over 400,000. Views, and a lot of them were by atheists and people who were just enraged at the content of this movie. And I think the powerful thing about God's Not Dead is their tagline is, what do you believe? And it's all about, what do you believe and why do you believe it? And I think as a believer, that's such an important question. And whether you're Christian or not Christian, you should know what you believe.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you believe, come see this movie and it'll help you. It'll help you work through that.
And, that's a great question.
And we have Bible study guides for churches to be involved. There's the God test. There's all kinds of other materials that will go along with this movie. So this is a big movie for PureFlix, and we believe that it's important for our time. I don't know of any big apologetic movie that's come out in our marketplace. Especially, you know, we just believe the timing is right now. That this is something that the church really needs to be part of.
Well, David, I certainly thank you so much for your generosity with your time and certainly your talent and what you've given to us and the church community. But your ability to reach out as a tremendous gospel witness is so encouraging. And we'll definitely be praying and helping to get the word out about the new movie that will be coming out very soon. Again, thank you for being with us tonight. And please give our best to your wife, your children, And we're just so happy that you were able to give us this time. And so thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. And hey,
we appreciate it.
Please check out our Facebook, our PureFlix Facebook page, just for, you know, all the latest movies coming up. We release about 24 films a year. And so, you know, we have films for all occasions. We got Christmas movie Silver Bells coming up, which is great. We just released the Book of Daniel this last week. And so, yeah, you can go there and you can find out all the information on our releases, our latest releases and what's coming up. So,
great
question. Thanks again.
Well, I ordered the Daniel movie today, so I'm looking forward to receiving it. And, again, you have a great evening, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Dad.
Had a question and didn't get to ask it? Listening to the program from the archive and can't dial the regular number? Either way, you can still ask the pastor. Just call toll free and leave your question at 1-866-275-4472 and select option 1. Please leave your first name and your question. Be sure to speak clearly as we may use your question on the air in a subsequent broadcast. Again, that toll free number is 1-866-275-4472. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joe, and I want to tell you about a program that has been a real surprise to me. Now, I don't normally listen to or even care for religious programs, but these two guys are different. The program is called Ask the Pastor, and has a team of co-hosts, Pastor Charles Lyons and Jim Simmons. Pastor Charles is a writer and helps people who are troubled when they call in and they need someone to talk. Jim works a regular job and also volunteers listening to and helping others. It's not what you expect from a religious program. They're Christian, they teach the Bible, and they talk about things that are going on in the real world. And more than that, they listen to people and they talk with them, not at them. As I said, the program is called Ask the Pastor, and you can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday night. I think you'll be really surprised. So I will.
Imagine, if you will, what it would be like if your country was conquered. The new government takes over. Life is totally different. You are a little more than a teenager and you're taken captive and moved to another city. Held in comfortable surroundings, make no mistake, you are a prisoner. Told what to eat, what to study, even when and how you will pray. What will you do? If you were Daniel that was written about in the Old Testament of the Bible, you would stand up for what you believe. In his book, Daniel, the Commentary of Prophecy, Dr. Charles Lyons goes through the book of Daniel and gives you lessons from Daniel's life that are totally needed today. Follow the lessons learned and the stands Daniel took against rulers, government corruption, political intrigue, and people of compromise. Learn from his life as a teenager, middle age, and finally, as a senior. Get your copy of Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy, today.
And I welcome everyone back to Ask the Pastor. We certainly were blessed to have David A.R. White join us in our first half hour. And I thought, since it's more like just family this evening, we would be a little less formal and maybe take some time to go into a passage that, Jim, I don't know if you've really thought about this before, but you know there is a passage in the Bible that I think personally has been such an incredible blessing to people's lives, certainly great saints, humble saints, anybody you want to name, that it's just really been a comfort to them. And in fact, I was always mindful, I remember the story years ago in New York, there was a program that was on, and they had this two people come up to the platform as guests, and it was a secular program, but they said, well, you know, we love great literature, and certainly the Bible contains great literature, so they had two gentlemen on the platform with them. One was a Shakespearean actor, and they had him read and recite the Psalm 23, And he did that. He did it eloquently, powerfully, and it really moved those who were there in the audience. And then they had just simple old-time preacher that had happened to be in the audience and, worked a lot of the streets doing evangelism, things of this nature. And they had, brother, why don't you come up and read this too? So he did. I think he might have felt a little intimidated by the space, the location.
Whoa, yeah.
But certainly not by the message. And so he got up, and with a broken voice, an older voice, he read, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And he went on through there. And as he finished the passage, people didn't just applaud. They stood to their feet and cheered.
Wow.
And the person who was running the program was thrown back because he thought the Shakespearean actor had such an incredible voice. He said, "I just don't understand this. Hey, you know, what happened?" The actor commented back to them. He says, "You know, I know the words, but he knows the shepherd."
Ooh.
My concern.
That is
powerful, isn't it, to think about? I know the words, but to know the shepherd, that's the difference.
Mm.
You know, Jim, the reason I bring this all up is the fact that this is a passage that, as a pastor, obviously, you know, I use a great deal for my own comfort. I also use it at almost every memorial or funeral service that I do, whether it's in the service or by the graveside.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time when I saw people truly moved by these words. They understood the words. They were touched by the words. And now I find more and more people that it's, you know, they know the words, but they don't necessarily know the shepherd. They're just hearing the motion. And so, Jim, I know you read the word. I read the word. Best of all, we both know the shepherd. I thought it might be nice tonight to spend a little time in this book. This isn't some deep theological study. This is just two guys who love God that happen to appreciate this passage. And I hope our listeners feel the same way and will be touched and appreciated, not by what we have to say, but by what God says in this passage. Jim, would you just take a moment and read through this Psalm 23 for us? It's not that long, but boy, is it rich.
Yes, it is. Six verses. It's a Psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen. Amen. And you see, here is this precious passage that is such a comfort. And if some of our listeners, this is new to them, you know, get a hold of some of these verses. Start to think about what's really being said. You know, when Jim starts off, it's not "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's "the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." It's very personal. You know, that's the beauty of it. That's the strength of it. And then think about what it's like when we're dealing with a situation, we're trying to handle it ourselves, we're getting upset, and we're just, you know, we're running around, and we have a lot of activity, we have a lot of stress, stomach's upset, sometimes the chest pains start. So what does God have to do? He has to make you to lie down. He has to make you to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he do it? He does it in the green pastures. He does it in the place that's beside still waters. All through the scriptures, we're compared to sheep, lambs. And you know, they're probably one of the most skittish animals there is. I mean, any kind of sound disruption just terrifies them and they take off running.
Mm-hmm.
So nervous are these little animals that when they're beside like a babbling brook, they can't handle that. That's too much stress for them. What does he do? He puts us down beside still waters. He just wants us to relax. And when we start to relax, then here comes verse 3. Jim, what's he do to us? What's he do for us and for our soul?
He restoreth. And that means to bring back my soul.
Yeah. Wow. And again,
you know,
our skittish selves, what does he do with us? How does he lead us?
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
What's that mean to you?
Pastor, just the beginning of this makes me remember some of the feelings I've had. You know, as men, we're to be the spiritual heads of our household. We're supposed to protect and to guide and to provide and all the things that the world teaches us to do. And I think as you grow as a Christian, I think you say, no. God, you didn't create me to handle all that life is going to throw at me. Thank God I have someone bigger than me, a shepherd, somebody that loves me more than I can understand love, and who only wants the best for me and doesn't punish me to be malicious or vindictive. He does it to teach, every time to teach and to prepare me for what's ahead. So it just gives me great comfort to know I'm not supposed to handle all of these problems. That's what God is for. Bring it all to him.
And that's so true. That really is so true. You know, there's another little verse we're going to jump in on, but before I did, I want to share something. People who joined us in the first half hour heard this. I have a chance to talk with David A.R. White, great actor and producer, and saw him explaining something on the set on a piece of video that to me was interesting, and I'll explain why in just a moment. But he was actually seated in a vehicle where they're about to shoot a scene, and so he's supposed to be on a cell phone. By the same time, you notice that down there beside him, he has a little two-way radio, and what his comment was, it says, when you're doing something like this, everybody is yelling at you or to you. And even while he was trying to explain this, that's exactly what was happening. People were running up to the car, shouting something in there, and then dashing back off. And with all the background noises, he really couldn't hear what they were saying. And every few moments, somebody else is yelling on a big megaphone, or there's somebody outside and yelling back and forth. And I guess the idea was that he's supposed to know all this, but he really couldn't hear any of it. And then he made this interesting little comment. He says, you know, I appreciate all that they're doing, but who I really listen to is that man on the two-way radio, because that's the director, and he knows what I need to do. And so I listen for his voice. And I thought of this. Isn't that what we do as believers? We go through life with all the noise and all the trappings of activity and success taking place around us, sometimes trouble all around us. And if we're wise, we listen for one voice. We listen for God. And here's verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the worst of the worst, even the loss of a loved one, even the loss of people that are so dear to us, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's that voice coming through on the radio, coming into our hearts, wherever we receive it, maybe reading in a passage first thing in the morning or late in the evening when we're troubled. I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And a shepherd would use the rod and the staff both to draw the lamb that was frightened that started to run away back safely. And he also used it as a weapon to protect if anyone tried to get to that lamb. You and I, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, have someone who draws us back in love and kindness, even in the midst of death, and will defend us to the deepest, most fearful moment. He is standing between us and the enemy. Jim, how does that give you strength to face a day?
Well, it just takes so much. I think as men particularly, I think with all the pressure to provide, and of course I know there are many women that provide even more so than the husbands, but I think men, when we talk with them on our prayer line, I get a sense of relief. It's like nobody's ever said, you know, you're not equipped. He did not design you to handle everything. And it's just such relief to know that he's there with the rod, staff, and he's, you know, I heard a story once where one particular lamb kept straying, so finally the shepherd had to break his leg to get him to stop straying and wandering. But then he picked him up and put him over his shoulder, around his neck and over his shoulder, and carried him. And that image has never left my mind whenever we're in this 23rd Psalm. It just reminds me so much about how loving and merciful God is.
Absolutely. Here's another image that we begin to find in this passage that, again, is such a comfort to saints throughout the ages. You know, what do you do when you are confronting not just evil, but, I mean, people who genuinely have it out against you? It might be that in the workplace you've had a new boss come in and you've been trying to do something that's, you know, not just simply helping the company to grow, but to do it the right way, to be honest, with integrity, to treat the customer right, to handle the money in an ethical way. And then you get in somebody that maybe they're a little more cutthroat. They just want to see the bottom line dollar. They don't care who it hurts. And you're struggling because you are a person of integrity. And here you are, right in the presence of your enemies. How do you deal with that? It's tearing you apart inside. How do you confront it? How do you deal with it? How do you know where you stand? But Jim has already told us and reminded us that we have that comforter there with us. We have that rod and that staff. The verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me. I remember when I'm under that kind of stress, the last thing I feel like doing is eating. God steps in, and he prepares a table for me right in the presence of my enemies. I mean, can you imagine troops that are mobilized for battle and surrounded by the enemy, and normally they have to stay on guard. But what if they had a power that was so powerful they could trust that power, and the person behind that power would fix dinner and say, sit down, relax. While I'm here, you're safe. That's what I think of when I see that. Prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. The enemy is all around, and they're helpless because God is also there present. And he says, he anoints my head with oil. In other words, healing oil. He's touching me. He's healing me. All that stress that I've been feeling and carrying that I didn't want to have to carry, but I was caught between the corrupt and the incorrupt. And guess what? God heals. He brings the oil, and my cup of resources are filled to overflowing. So I'm not suffering anymore. I'm actually on God's little mash unit where he's touching, healing, restoring, feeding, and allowing me to feel his blessings and his presence. Jim, ever had a moment like that? How does that verse make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel like someone can see my life from where they're sitting. It's we were talking earlier with David A.R. White, and we were talking about, no matter where we are as Christians, people are seeing in our glass house. They're seeing us. And I can feel I'm growing. I feel like I still have those emotions, though, when I want to fight back. And it's something, the comfort that God gives me to say, my son, what did I tell you? Don't worry. I'll take care of this. So no matter what happens to me, he's got something better prepared. He's preparing me for something better. And it's just a great, I don't think there's a night goes by that if you're like me, you run the videotape back in your head and you think, I missed an opportunity there. I wish I hadn't said that. But you also, it starts caving in on you and you think, I hope the paycheck's large enough. I hope the expenses are lower this next month. And to read this is like a sleeping pill. You know, you read this and you just, what am I worried about? And then your neck and shoulders start to relax and a little smile comes to your face. And next thing you know, it's morning.
That's so great amazing, feeling. Isn't it? What a blessing. Just to feel God's presence.
Yeah. You
don't have to be up all night tossing and turning. And some of our listeners are doing that. They're facing challenges, questions. Maybe they're feeling incredibly alone. They don't have to be alone. I mean, the room might be empty, they think. But God is there. God's still loving, comforting. How much, the real question is, how much can we let go and turn over to Him? You know, there's what pastors sometimes refer to as a pair of twins in this passage. And the twins occur in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's the twins, goodness and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a name it and claim it. That's the already promise that's out there. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, that doesn't mean you stay here at church year-round. What that means is that you're in His presence year-round. One day we will go to heaven. We know Him as Savior and Lord, so we have that confidence, that joy, that peace. And we'll get to be with Him. You know, I enjoy traveling. I enjoy getting away. If I can stay in a hotel, it's nice. But you know what's nicer is being in a place where you're known and you know people.
Mm-hmm.
You got, and I don't mean the stress of, you know, the structure. I mean the fact that here's family. You can feel connected. Feel the presence. You know, let the walls down. Be comfortable. And I say that because there will be a time where not only are we with God's people like we can be today if we choose, which we need to, because we need that fellowship. It's healing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when we go to be with God in heaven, wouldn't it be nice that we're not exactly strangers? I mean, here's somebody who saved us, provided for us, protected us, healed us, allowed us to, you know, sit down with the table before us in the presence of His enemies. And when I was so stressed out, He made me to lie down and calm down. And guess what? Wouldn't it be nice if we spend this life getting to know Him better through His Word, through His people, getting to draw close, so that when goodness and mercy does follow us throughout our days and we begin to dwell in the house of the Lord, it won't be strange.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be better than anything we can imagine. But wouldn't it be nice to know that when we get there, we'll meet people that we led to Christ that have gone up ahead. We will know people who have been family. You know, some of us are fortunate enough to go back generations and find people that knew Christ as Savior. And we'll get to have homecoming with them that people we don't know. Maybe we're fortunate enough to have an old black and white picture tucked away somewhere. Maybe we don't. But we're going to suddenly find out we've got family we never even dreamed of.
Yeah.
Some of those people we can enjoy right now at church. Some of them we'll get to know right then. So how exciting will it be to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Jim, how do you see, what do you feel when you come to those twins, goodness and mercy?
Well, I just, you know, I remember this author was known. I mean, we have seen David's life, constant conflict. I mean, ever since Goliath and the king trying to pin him against the wall with a javelin, his own son trying to take his kingdom, Bathsheba. Loss of a child. I mean, you look at so when I read this, I think, wait a minute, does this guy really know what he's talking about? Oh, yes, he is.
Absolutely.
Phi Beta Kappa in conflict and concern. So that's why God said he's a man after my own heart. So I think we can sit at this passage, we can sit here and say, there's authority here. There is experience here. Here's somebody that knows the Father intimately. And I want to strive to get to that level because I may not have the same conflict and the same volume of conflict that David had. But on my little world, it's a serious business for me. And so
absolutely,
it's so comforting to know that we've got these two twins that, when we're troubled, open this up. Goodness and mercy are there. Wow.
Absolutely. What a powerful comfort, isn't it?
And it is.
One of the things I've learned over the years through the prayer line is that the person who calls for prayer, that wants support, wants to boldly go before the throne of God in comfort and find that restoring time. You know, if you pull back in the flesh for a moment, you see one caller who's got what seems like this massive, massive, devastating problem, and the next person, it doesn't seem that big. Both are troubled. Both need to come to Jesus. God doesn't turn them away, whether it's a huge problem or maybe a smaller problem. Because one of the things he knows is two things. One thing he knows is that for each of that person, where they're at in their life at that time, they're big problems. And the other thing he knows is that he so loves us.
Yeah.
That he gave his only begotten son for us. That he loves us, whether we bring what to us is a big problem or a small problem. To him, it's just a chance to love on us and be close to us.
Yeah.
Jim, share with us one more time before we have to wrap up Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Is that a great passage or what? I mean, that's something that has comforted so many, and I hope it will comfort each one of our listeners tonight as they try to rest, or if they're listening by archive in a couple of days, maybe you're dealing with something at that moment. That's going to be the passage that will help you. The twins will come out suddenly. You will have surely goodness and mercy throughout your life. Jim, it has really been a special evening. We have been so blessed to have David A.R. White with us to share in that time. And,
wonderful.
I know. Absolutely. And he's just blessed us in so many different ways. And when I say us,
yes.
I know both of us have enjoyed his films, but I think the Christian body, the family of God, we have been blessed that God has raised up more and more people to share with us their Christian writing, Christian movies, and entertainment. It's just a great blessing. On the website, if you look down below our broadcast information, you'll see we've included that link in case you didn't get it written down, to www.pureclicks.com, and that is the website where you can find out more information about the work that David's doing, the movies that are available. There are certainly other Christian websites that are stepping forward and making these kind of quality movies available. So please remember, we want to support the body of Christ, and we also want great tools for blessing the body and also sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jim, your final thought, and we'll say goodnight to our wonderful listeners.
If you are not a Christian and you're hearing this, go to Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@whitelions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.brightlions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.